Inside Lacrosse Podcasts, the source of the sport.
What's up, Prep Nation? I am your host, Dan Kaplan, the director of IL Preps, and I am fired up to be back for another podcast. We have a great one on store. Thanks so much for tuning in. Like I said, we have a great episode here. The bulk of it is a convo between Kevin Brown and myself, another Inside Lacrosse full-time staffer, and he got to catch BL St. John's in Baltimore while I headed down south into D.C. where Georgetown Prep hosted St. Mary's. So we have two awesome games to talk about. Really fun conversation with plenty of player shout-outs in there. So be sure to stick around and digest that. A couple quick plugs before we get into it. Our Q-Collar National Top 25 is 100% out. Each team capsule for all 25 teams in the full list is completely out. So please be sure to go ahead and check that out. We have our Crank Shooter Games of the Week. Thanks so much to Q-Collar and Crank Shooter for helping to bring those to life. Games of the Week is out, so be sure to go ahead and check that out. Thanks so much to Riley Kennedy for putting that together. Like I said, Kevin and I already got to get to some games. We are officially on the good side of March, which means action in the Mid-Atlantic area is really picking up. So we'll have plenty of game coverage coming your way. And over the course of the next 2 weeks, we have a ton of teams from out of region coming through. So we have these guys coming right into our backyard where we get to take advantage of them. So really, really nice to be able to have that luxury. And one of those teams is the Hill Academy, who is certainly featured in our Games of the Week and will also be at the core of some game coverage here later in the week. But before we dive into our conversation with Kevin, and before we dive into what we're looking for later in the week, let's quickly hit a few scores from last night where we had some important ones. We had Landon and the Heights go at it, where Landon took that one 13-9. Roswell and Wesleyan went at it, and Roswell took that one 16-9. I also saw on social that Ezra Moore, who, quick shout out to Ezra, is one of IL's Tommy Lyon's favorite players in the 2024 class. He just loves his game. Ezra eclipsed the 100 goal mark, so congratulations to him. Certainly a milestone to be proud of. Down in Florida, we had the Benjamin School take down St. Edward's 18-10, and that will kind of wrap up the quick glimpse of the scores that kind of caught my eye through the course of the night. Oh, and also Bullis winning that one 14-6 over the St. James, and that was on the road. So another one to quickly throw in there of quickly perusing the IL scoreboard here this morning of some scores that caught my eye. Rest of the week, we have a great slate on tap. Wednesday, we'll be working on something special here that I can't quite reveal, but no pun intended, we'll be doing some prep work for something good here that should come out before the end of the week. And then Thursday and Friday, we pick right back up with all of that game action. We'll be on scene for Haverford as they host Loyola. Quick plug, another one. If you haven't caught last week's episode of the IL Preps podcast, where we hosted head coach of Torrey Pines, John O'Zissi, and head coach of Haverford School, Brendan Dawson, please be sure to go back, check that out. I'd love if you did that so we get extra ears on those guys into those teams. The Haverford School opens this Thursday with Loyola, and IL will certainly have a presence there at that one as well. Friday, everything picks up again. You have a ton of action in the area. I will be heading back down to DC, where I will be on site for the Hill Academy at St. John's. Really looking forward to that one. Certainly a ton of really, really talented players that'll be in that one. So a lot of star ratings, all of those types of implications, national team rankings, like all that type of stuff. A lot of hinge points coming in the next few weeks here that I'm really excited to get eyes on as much as I possibly can. So that'll happen Friday. That's one of them. You also have Gonzaga and McDonough starting. We'll have at least sideline highlights coming out of that, if not full game recap and standouts. But I know for sure that we'll have a presence there for sideline highlights. And then also on Friday in the DC area, you have Landon and St. Paul's. So another one of these like MIAA versus DC area matchups that is certainly really intriguing and will help set the precedent for some benchmarks going forward. With all of that said, let's go ahead and officially dive into this conversation with myself and Kevin Brown, who you will certainly be hearing throughout the course of the season. So get used to his voice. We really appreciate him taking the time from his busy, busy schedule and all of his different projects to be able to help us out here in the IL Preps World. Nation, this is a special interview slash guest slash recurring guest, I guess we could say future recurring guest. Hopefully you already know him and you already follow him on all of the social medias, because he's going to be all over game coverage this season, and that is Inside the Crosses, Kevin Brown. Kevin?
Yeah, no need for formal interview status. This is personal guest status.
In-house.
Kevin Brown. IL Preps Nation, coming at you.
In
high
my
school,
defense,
we're off. We're off and running.
In my defense, this is at least your first appearance on the IL Preps Pod. So, to the degree that we've already developed a diehard crew, a diehard group of listeners that only exclusively listens to Inside the Cross podcasts for the IL Preps Pod, they could have no idea who Kevin Brown is.
I hope that the bandwagon is still open to welcoming me, and I hope to be that reoccurring guest that they might be craving in the future.
Yes, and Preps Nation is a very welcoming group. If I know anything, it's that they are hungry for high school content, and they are equally excited for the return of games in the Mid-Atlantic area as I am. Obviously, just based on our location. And the fact that so many good teams from around the country are able to come, you know, basically to our backyard, it's really, really a huge advantage. And we're quite lucky to be positioned where we are.
And how could you not with games like this? Matchups early in the season, St. John's coming up to Boys Latin to play a big time program like that. And I know you had a quite a riveting, exciting game down at Georgetown Prep with St. Mary's coming to town. So, I mean, let's get right into it, Cap.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's get into it. And you said it. We had two really, really good games to kick us off here for our on-site coverage. I was able to head just south down to D.C. to catch Georgetown Prep host St. Mary's, while Kevin went just slightly northeast, I guess, a few minutes, northwest a few minutes, to get over to Boys Latin, where they hosted St. John's. So two really good MIAA versus DC opponents, not the same conference there, with the WCAC in the picture there for St. John's. But obviously some really, really good matchups. Kevin, we'll start with you. Yours was not quite as good as mine, so we'll make everybody hold on to the edge of their seats to get to the juicy stuff.
Yeah, listen, so a 12-4 final in favor of the home Lakers, and when you have balanced scoring and stifling defense, it's only going to result in one kind of victory, and that's a comfortable one, right? It's the Boys Latin looked very strong to start their season off after some really good scrimmages, and they liked what they saw. They just wanted to pick up some improvements of mainly off the ground, and they played Georgetown Prep, who we'll get to with you, of course. But Kaplan, man, this defense was something special today. Man down. There was a sequence where they were three men down. And
high school ball, man. There's going to be some of those chaotic moments. Unscripted stuff.
St. John's could not register a good shot at all during the three men down. Two men were offsides. So 30 seconds passed, and they still couldn't get a good shot off. One man up. They're just so rangy, so athletic. Guys like Desi Arup going to the Tampa at the D2 level. Michael Meredith, he's a Jacksonville commit. Keep your eyes on him, Dolphins fans. And Brady Wesolowski, he had a good game, apart from an illegal body check. They were calling it pretty tight on. And Bryce Barrett. Perfect game from him. I think he was really aggressive coming out of the box as an LSM. But you really got to tip your hat to the goalie in between the types. In between the pipes, excuse me. In Will and Mack. Typical Notre Dame bound goalie. Big, stout, taking up a lot of the net. And, man, was he fundamentally sound. He got low quick, and he matched sticks quite well. Now, context. It should be noted, this is a Ryan Dunkel-less St. John's Cadets team coming up to Baltimore. The timetable is still unknown for Dunkel status this season, but he's still injured, still sidelined. So, and you can really tell, right? It's they're still learning who's going to step up down at the attack level, but with so much range and athleticism down there at close defense. It was really impressive from the Lakers defense. But Cap, that's not even the headliner. Oh. The headliner is the short stick defensive midfielders.
Oh,
what? No one wants to hear about them. No one wants the nameless, unheralded heroes of the sport.
We need
we do. Preps Nation does.
Yes.
Preps Nation needs to hear.
That's okay. Right.
So Duncan Barnes and Connor Schoenwetter.
Yes.
We're going with that pronunciation. Two captains for the Lakers this year. They really set the tone on that defensive end. You're not getting an inch on these guys. I mean, they were fantastic. And to my surprise, the best D-middy of them all on the day. I'm not saying total resume or anything like that, but Mason Prout, he was spectacular. In between the lines, he played man down, one man clear, cool as you like. He's headed the Bates, so Division three Nation.
NESCAC, baby.
NESCAC, you're getting a good one. Mason Prout, he was spectacular.
Dang. What a recap there. I expected to have like 10 more questions to be able to throw at you, but you nailed so many of them. I guess, though, because we have to keep this thing rolling, I'll throw a couple at you. What was the slickest, like, highlight play of the day?
So the highlight of the day actually was, it wasn't even a goal, but it really encaptured the chemistry and the dynamic duo that the Lakers have down at attack with Spencer Ford and Matt Higgins.
Is this an end line restart behind the back feeds to a backhand shot?
It is. Spoiler alert. Someone had the stream open.
No. That's NHSLS, baby. They did that like every end line reset at NHSLS. You saw some sort of behind the back. Ford picks it up. Higgins acts like he's going to go pick for him, slips it over the shoulder to his left, catches it, and then goes to a backhand shot. And that is that's salt and pepper, baby.
And it nearly paid off again, and it was probably atop the scout for these bread cadets.
Bread and butter,
yes.
Sorry.
Peanut butter and jelly, maybe.
Salt and pepper. Idiot.
Salt and pepper? That's a great tandem.
Okay, all right, fine.
Salt and pepper go great together.
Okay.
You can't have
lamb a and great fish.
Poultry dish without salt and pepper. But listen, Matty Higgins, he took his game to a whole other level this offseason. He's a junior this season, one of the top 2025s in the country. And listen, he's slick. He's a little undersized still, but he keeps growing in stature. And now that he's growing in a leadership capacity, he was magnificent all day. Ford, I think he'll be first to admit he didn't have his best game. But he was still commanding double teams and really pacing the Lakers offense.
Well, let's dive into that a little bit. Who was on the matchup on Ford there that was kind of making things tough? Or was it more of this scheme was just really, really dialed to account for?
Henry Weller drew the Spencer Ford assignment down for the Cadets. He was great. He had one highlight reel takeaway where a nice little lift action, and he was off and running. But the Cadets did well to clog the passing lanes when they could. But listen, the thing with this Lakers offense is, who are you going to pull? They have so many options. Coming out of the box, Liam White finishes with the hat trick. George Inslee was super great off ball in the interior finishing. And he's a big boy. Listen, he's got some heft to him in the upper body, all right? Lincoln Herring, he's a guy to watch out for. Yale commit. He plays like a future Bulldog would coming out of the box as a midfielder. He had a nice ready take down the alley. Terrific. And another off-ball goal that was also high IQ. He's a high IQ guy. But when you have Liam White, those midfielders, a guy like Colin Kenny was super impressive coming out of the box. He's got a tall frame and big stature to him. And he doesn't hold on. The ball doesn't get stuck in Kenny's stick. He's passing it forward. He's throwing it back. He's making plays happen within the flow of the offense. So this is just a scary boys Latin offense to watch when they're all clicking like that.
You hit the nail on the head. I feel like when you mentioned the chemistry, they absolutely just feel like they are so on the same page with each other. Like they're so organized, but especially like within their duos, and they just really have a sense for each other's games all over the place. So they're constantly setting the next guy up to succeed in the way that like best suits his game. So I absolutely agree with that based on what we saw over the fall and last year with so many guys coming back. It's safe to assume that not only is that kind of element still in place, but is just further more developed. So obviously some impressive stuff there out of boys Latin.
Listen, and Kaplan, before we change over to the game you were covering, I did forget I was I would be remiss if I didn't mention more.
Yes. Love it.
Parker Hoffman at the Faceoff X. He's spectacular. North Carolina commit.
When he's hot, man, there's plays. No one better. When he gets hot, it's lights out.
He had a nice tandem with Ridge Ritter, another Faceoff specialist who came in the second half in relief. But Parker Hoffman, so speedy, and provided two juice plays that really put the game to bed. If St. John's was ever dreaming of coming back in this game, he really quashed it with an end of third quarter goal right after their third goal. And to start the fourth quarter right away, he does the same. He gets it over
to
four.
Is that right off the draw, or is he staying and kind of working it through sub-game?
Right off the draw, about, you could time it. His 40 times got to be off the charts.
Well, who are you going to leave? Minimum. You mentioned who you're going to pull with the offense. In a fast break situation, who are you going to leave?
Yeah, you don't want to leave a guy like Spencer Ford at the point of the fast break. But they did in the fourth quarter because they saw what he did at the end of that third quarter.
Pick your poison.
And listen, pick your poison indeed. Ford finds the right read and a little dip and dunk action for Higgins. Coming into a more of a leadership role as a junior here, I'm just so excited to see what Matt Higgins is going to, what kind of numbers he's going to put up this spring season. So,
and as a former Terp yourself, catching those two in action at this point, knowing that you have however many years ahead of you of being able to continue to watch those guys together, has to be pretty exciting.
Yeah, it was super exciting to catch up with Farrell post game. He's one of the guys I kind of looked up to growing up and watching Maryland games. But I was disappointed. I did want to catch up with Higgins and Ford post game, but the team did get to the other side of the field pretty quickly, and you know the lights were getting pretty dim. So I'll catch up with you guys later if you're listening. I'll catch up with you at some point this season. We would also be remiss if we did not mention another Terp in this game, John Draley for the Cadets. That three men down sequence that I mentioned, St. John still scores after failing to register somehow failing to register a decent look. I mean, they got time and room shots on the three men down, but none of them good enough to get on Cage. John Drayley says, you know what? I open the scoring. I'll do the same thing right now if we're all even. Sweeps to his right and absolutely scorches the top left corner. When you see this replay, Kaplan, you're gonna go crazy.
And I will.
It was an awesome goal.
I will absolutely be digging into that replay here probably tonight once I get my recap done and written and on insidethecross.com.
So he was, he along with goalie coming in for Big Tasty, no less, Ryan Enzer, number 50 for St. John's. He did really well. He prevented the scoreline from being a lot worse than it was. Shout out Ryan Enzer. You did great. Especially low. He got low pretty quickly on a lot of shots with St. John or with Boys Latin shooters coming from behind the net and all that jazz. So
no pun intended. Good game from the big shoes to fill there with Big Tasty owning TV time. Right?
You are not kidding. With how much of a personality Big Tasty Caleb Fayok is, he's even better at goal. So we've seen it for the Buckeyes already this spring. And listen, Cadets, you can take solace in that your goalie seems to be the question is answered for the next couple seasons.
And you already got to give someone advice to say, hey, maybe if they're listening, I'm going to do the same thing. If you're Ryan Enzer and you're listening, you don't have to be Big Tasty, man. Just be Ryan Enzer. Make the saves that Ryan Enzer's supposed to save. Do your thing. Help the defense. You don't got to be Big Tasty. Those are big shoes to fill, right? You don't have to do that. Just be Ryan Enzer.
Listen, that's all you can hope to be. Be yourself. Be that well, baby.
All right. So that, I feel like, I mean, just an incredible recap. I'm so glad you were able to get there. We're going to have plenty of action coming from this. You have obviously your recap, some standouts, some evals, all that good stuff going to go in writing. But we also had some sideline highlights there. Am I wrong?
You are not wrong. In fact, Dush Patel for Inside Lacrosse was there on the sideline capturing all that goodness that I have attempted to portray via the spoken word. And you will be reading on insidethecross.com. Stay tuned for those evals coming up and the recap from Dush Patel. Real talented videographer. I'll tell you what, his highlights are going to be fun to watch.
We're a Dush podcast. We are. And a Chris Hutman podcast. Both of those people.
Oh, yeah.
Big all right, support. G-Town Prep, baby. St. Mary's.
Listen, Kaplan.
11-10.
I heard this one ended pretty crazily.
You could say it was contentious. I put a tweet out that said something along the lines of, like, everybody is upset except for me, and I mean it. I literally, like, there was, everybody was mad at some point. While it was really tight, we get a little bit of a clock malfunction. You got parents are yelling. Kids are like, what the heck is going on? Coaches are screaming at the ref. Like, the ref is the one that controls the clock. Like, it was chaotic. But everybody's around me, the world is on fire, and I'm just the dog sitting there with a big smile. Like, this is fine. This is great. Like, let the anticipation build. It's only going to make for a more intense ending, and that's absolutely what came true. But before we get into the end of the game, let's start with how we got there.
Boom. Listen, you're keeping these preps listeners on the edge of their seats.
All right, good. Starts with a really quick 4-0 run from St. Mary's within the first, like, 5:30. They go up 4-0. And then Owen Horning finally is able to kind of stop the bleeding, settle things down. He gets one, but they immediately answer on the other side of that, St. Mary's does. So they battle back and forth. It ends up going into the half at 8-2, I believe. Let me double check my notes on that. I got good notes. 8-3, it heads to the half in.
Gets all the way to a 5-goal lead, and they come back?
Which is actually something that may or may not surprise a lot of people Last year, very similar situation. St. Mary's goes up pretty big. I think it was more like 14-5, something along those lines. And they live through it, but it gets really tight, really, really tight. So at halftime, when you're up 8-3, you're just thinking to yourself, like, oh, man, like, little flashbacks to last year of I hope we can move on to it. And then anytime you have a situation like that where, like, you know, you have a highly ranked team that's coming in, they feel like, you know, they're supposed to roll. They feel like everything is supposed to go their way. They've been told by those idiots at Inside the Cross how great they are for the last month. You know, that can lead to issues in the first half of a game that doesn't quite go your way, right? You end up rushing. You end up pushing things too quickly. You end up trying to be, you know, forcing things that aren't just quite there. You think that it's going to come a little bit easier than it does. All of those types of things factor into, you know, not owning possession time, to some rush decisions, to sloppy stick work. And that's basically exactly how I would sum up the first half of that game, was it was just felt rushed. And then, you know, you go, you get to halftime and you're able to settle your team down and you say, guys, like, look around here, look how much talent we have, look how athletic we are, look at everything that we have. The only thing that's hurting us, or that I should say, the thing that's hurting us the most right now is ourselves. So let's just gather together here, regroup. When we go back out there, we need to get deep in shot clocks. We need to own possession times. We need to bang it through X and switch fields multiple times. Like, you need to have more productive possessions because it's going to serve you in a lot of different ways, right? And that's exactly what happened as the game progressed. They just slowly chipped away at it. Bowman scores back to back to start the half. And that, again, kind of rejuvenates the sideline, injects some life, gets them going. And just like that, though, St. Mary's answered. And it felt like every time Georgetown Prep would get on a run that you would think like, okay, this might be, you know, what breaks the levees, St. Mary's would answer with, you know, some sort of energetic play, whether it was a big play in the middle of the field, whether it was a big ground ball, whether it was, you know, some really good defense, which we saw all throughout. I'll give some personal shout outs here once we get through just kind of the summary of the game. But so, like I said, we get to 10. We get to 8-5 because we go into the half 8-3. Bowman scores too quick. Then St. Mary's answers with two of their own, and they get stuck at 10 from there. That's where you see the end of the scoring for them. And going into the fourth, you head into it at a 10-6 game. Noah Hahn, 2026. Definitely a name to know for sure. He scores back-to-back, and that brings him to 10-8. And now you get later in the game, you're around like under the 4 minute mark. So things are getting chaotic. You're down to under four. Chaotic situation happens, leads to a scramble. You get one in transition with Hahn picking up another point, feeding Bowman again, who gets another goal on that play. So now you're at 10-9. And this is where things get really chaotic. Like, I wish in some sort of like other world, we would now just pause and vortex back to how we started. We're right back at that situation with the chaos, with the clock. You got fans yelling. You got parents are screaming from both sides. The refs are like, I don't know what's going on. Like, I can't control the clock. I'm on the field. I don't, you know, like, what do you want from me? And then,
well, it wasn't the clock that was the issue.
Well, it was the clock and the shot clock. There was a combination of getting both of them on the same
page
with the same timing. And somehow,
I got ahead of myself.
10 second mark came in. It was like, no, we need a minute and 10 seconds. But regardless, you end up with this like weird pause that just builds all of the anticipation. And then, turnover on the far sideline, sideline clear. St. Mary's picks it up, just runs straight up the box side, turns it over, comes back down the other way. Goal in transition. Just an awesome play from Hopkins-bound Kieran McCleary. Forces the turnover, picks the ball up, just takes it himself. Absolutely blows one by the goalie, who was spectacular. He's one of those guys that's getting a big shout out here in a minute. So now we're at a tie game, come out, head to overtime, music is blaring, St. Mary's guy violates, Georgetown Prep ends it on that possession with an Owen Horning goal. And it was just, the whole thing was electric. It was an unbelievable game from start to finish. You had so much just like emotion and energy in that one that hopefully you can experience a little bit through me right now.
Kaplan, so is this just some classic home cooking for Georgetown prep?
No, it wasn't anything like that. It was, you know, these things happen. You got to live through them. The face off, Patrick McEwen put it best. The music was playing for both guys.
But to be more clear for the listeners, apparently the music going into overtime was blaring so loudly, everyone's waving, turn it off, please. Yeah. Face-off goes anyway.
That feels dramatic.
And lo and behold, this guy's been focusing on the music all game. And he can't hear. He goes early.
Kevin Brown conspiracy theories on the IL Preps podcast.
What a terrific recap there. Describe the game winner for me. They win it right away, or is it?
It's on that possession, a full possession. But it's a long, drawn out one-on-one. Two Georgetown guys just going at it. And this is probably, I mean, certainly was the matchup of the game. Owen Horning on Stephen Schumer. Both of them, like I said, headed to Georgetown. So you had Hoya on Hoya action, and it was a great matchup. I thought going into the game that Owen Horning was going to be the guy that kind of, you know, the straw that stirs the drink, if you will, for the Georgetown Prep offense. And I definitely feel that way on this side of things. Like, and certainly, I mean, it's obvious, right? In overtime, it was very clear, like, okay, Owen's getting the ball here. He's going to go to town on his matchup until they slide or he's going to take a shot. And honestly, he never really beat his defender. He just got to a point where he was going to be able to get enough behind his shot that if it was on cage and it was going to go in, you know, and that's exactly what happened. It was never really like he beat his defender. He just grinds him to a dangerous spot and shoots it off his hip. I mean, he falls to the ground as he's shooting. It's an incredible effort. Like, it's one of those things that it's like a fiddlestick play where you can just tell that after the ball goes in the goal, you're like, okay, that kid has played so much lacrosse in his life. Like, his stick skills are just unbelievable. And he had another one early in the game to start the scoring for Prep off of a question mark where he drives up to the island right-handed, rolls over his right shoulder, hits a question mark to his left hand that just absolutely stuck the far corner. That was unbelievable. And again, another just like very clear, like, okay, this kid's stick skills are on another level.
Hoya Saxa, baby. I love that matchup, the spotlight. That's going to be one to watch. For. They're going to be teammates soon, but right in their backyard nonetheless. But
and one listen, of them has some serious bragging rights over the other one now for eternity.
Oh, yeah. You think they're texting each other already?
I bet they're. I hope they're roommates and one of them puts it on the board, you know, somewhere on the wall.
But losing a couple guys, like, listen, you look at Princeton's attack right now. It's Colin Burns, Nate Kibiri. They're balling out. Coming from this Georgetown Prep team, it sounds like Owen Horning, Noah Hahn, Bowman, sounds like they've got answers to these graduations.
Absolutely. Yeah, they have plenty of answers in place here. We've mentioned Owen Horning. He was fantastic. Obviously, he scores the game winner, has a couple of other points throughout. Had the first goal to open it up, and nothing came easy, right? Like, I think that's part of why we mentioned that highlight that matchup. Nothing came easy, though. He was able to be pretty productive. Bowman, again, nothing really came easy. He did a great job of just kind of like using his frame and being really poised with the offense, though. Like, I feel like a lot of times when you get some of those big body guys in high school, they just like are overbearing with their either like overly aggressive and like barrel to the middle of the field out of control, or they're like big and haven't quite figured out how to use their frame yet. And I feel like for him, he's right in the middle of like, he's really figured out, you know, using his frame and dodging with physicality, but not just like overbearingly running into the middle of the field and getting himself into trouble.
That's awesome. It's telling about the composure of that group to be down five goals at half and to climb back like that in the season opener. It's very impressive. Defensively, any guys you want to shout out on that end of the field?
No doubt. There were plenty of guys on that side of the field. I feel like the first one that, you know, catches eyes, and I mean, I say first, it could be a different person for, if five different people watch this defense, five different people might notice somebody, you know, that really sticks out. But for me, I feel like the guy that I really enjoyed watching in this game was Luke Crow. Like, he's just so long and disruptive, and it's kind of a double-edged sword. I really enjoyed watching him because he does so much for their ability to get out and transition, and he's so, you know, talented with his stick skills. But part of that is what was getting them into trouble early. Though, like, at the same time, it's great to see that it's in his skill set and is a part of his game and something that not only is he comfortable doing, but is just really, really effective in.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And I'll keep it going with a couple other defenders. I mean, Patrick Kelly is just, he's an animal. He's incredibly physical. He's just so aggressive, but is really, really just under control. You know, you mentioned fouling in your game. Ours was, you know, pretty in control. It was really physical. It wasn't like, you know, you had a ton of just like high hits or penalized hits, but just like every chunk from the short stick D mid was something that from the sideline I could feel, you know, every check as a defender was, you know, guarding somebody that was trying to drive to the island was something from the sideline I could feel. And it just like all of that type of stuff was one element of this game that I was just so awesome. And again, Patrick Kelly was one of the guys that defensively brings that to the table. And then the last guy that I'll shout out defensively was Ryan Welgos, who I would say is the third of the group. But, you know, like I said, all of them are really, really talented and bring so much to the table in their own right.
Love it. Spring is here. This is March. Absolutely. Overtime games, comeback victories. What else could you ask for?
No, I mean, after that overtime game winner, I put the tweet out, put out the game winner, and captioned it as, like, if 2024 has every game to be this physical, fun, entertaining, you know, you name it. If that's what I get out of every game for 2024, like, I'm going to have a heart attack by the end of it. And sign me up. Honestly, sign me up for the heart attack. It'll be great.
Start eating your Cheerios now.
I'm on it. Honey Nut. Lower the cholesterol, because this season is going to do something to my stress levels if every game is like that one. All right, a few more shout outs though. I can't, you used I would be remiss not to mention, and then said that like seven times. I'm gonna try and say it just once and then hit all of my guys. You ready?
Listen, you're sounding pretty remiss right now.
I would be. First one, Logan Earl, UMBC-bound goalie for St. Mary's, was unbelievable. I mean, he stood on his head. The game is completely different without him. He makes a million saves, and I don't know what – I don't have some official stats. I did my best to keep points and goal track, which I do have all of them. Make sure you check out the recap on InsideTheCross.com to get a full
plug, plug, plug.
Access. Hashtag plug. But Logan Earl, unbelievable. And I saw him at First Class this fall, so I knew who he was. I knew his game a little bit, but in this matchup today, he was unbelievable. And I think what I liked the most about his game was he's the goalie version of Joe Flacco. He was so just cool, calm, composed, like didn't overreact to anything. He was never too high, never too low. You know, like he was just cool Logan Earl.
Did he have just incredible full field outlets?
They score on end of, like, you're getting close to a fail clear, and he just chucks one basically the length of the field, and loose ball situation in front of the goal ends up into the back of it from a St. Mary's attackman that just scoops and scores. But if that's what you're getting at, yes, he has all of the Joe Flacco that you could possibly imagine in him, in a maybe more elite Joe, elite Logan Earl.
And he's staying in Baltimore too. That's perfect.
It all adds
he's got
up.
The Flacco arm, and he's staying the golden retriever. That's amazing.
It all adds up. So Logan Earl, there's one. Offensively, you had Gannon Cope was unbelievable. I'm sure the Terp in you is hearing that last name and perking up a little bit. Gannon was incredible in this matchup. I mean, he did so much for this offense. What I like most about his game is his ability to see through the defense. I love offensive players that aren't afraid to throw a skip pass and have the stick skills to be able to do it and the vision to be able to see it. He certainly does. But then he also has like a matchup winning ability and a goal scoring trait to him as well. So I think his game is pretty complete. He's definitely a guy for us to continue to watch throughout the season. And then you had Than Sousa had at least 3 goals in the matchup. I want to say 4, but at least 3. Really, really impressive. Really just a quick release in balls in and out of his stick. I wouldn't say that he's just an off-ball guy, but I think that's where his game excels was, finding space off-ball, settling into the wing, catch and shoot, just really, really polished with that type of stuff in his game.
Incredible.
I'm looking back through my notes real quick to make sure I don't have anybody else that I want to...
Don't be remiss.
...that I would be remiss.
You don't want to be remiss.
Jack Salou. Face-off guy for Georgetown Prep, came up big, right? I think that he was great throughout the game. Again, I don't have official stats, but definitely won the matchup. St. Mary's ends up going to a poll at some point, and he handles that pretty well. We ran to that.
You got to be versatile as a face-off guy. So it sounds like he's an all-around, he's a scrapper, and he's a winner. So
anything else here that you got? What's else on your agenda? What, any next games here that you're looking forward to hitting? Anything already on the schedule?
Well, there's plenty of Crank Shooter. Shout out our sponsors. Thank you for sponsoring us. Crank Shooter Boys High School Games of the Week to look out for. I can't wait for all of them. So if you've got games you're looking out for, let me know.
Why, by chance, I do. I have a couple this week that I'm definitely looking forward to get to. And keep.
I know McDonough's down at Gonzaga on Friday.
That'll be a good one. McDonough and Gonzaga, and then also Hill with St. John's, the team that you just saw. So we'll see exactly where everybody ends up, but we have definitely plenty of options coming this week that everybody can continue to look forward to. Plenty of high school game coverage.
Keep it here, Preps Nation.
Thanks, Kev.
So, with all of that said, Preps Nation, I really appreciate everybody tuning in and listening. I really hope you enjoyed that conversation with Kevin Brown and myself. We were fired up to be able to kick coverage off with 4 incredible teams. Kevin, like we said, didn't quite get the thriller that I got, but certainly a lot of value to come from it. And then on my side, like, man, I couldn't have asked for a better game, 2 better teams, I couldn't have asked for a better matchup to really kick the season off. You know, like, it was just absolutely thrilling. So thanks so much for tuning in. Catch you next week.
Inside Lacrosse Podcasts, the source of the sport.